Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Rejoicing, glad in it. Another day to experience you, another day to experience your presence, another day for you to light the way, because your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our pathway. We need your help, Father Yahweh. So guide us by your word. Guide us by your spirit, Father. We submit ourselves to this process right now. Father, we ask that you just cleanse our mind, cleanse our hearts, our mouths, so that we can be those believers that you are seeking in these last days. Use our life, use our testimony as a shining example of your transformative power. We give you the glory and the honor and all the praises. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. I'm so thankful to be here with you this morning sharing, not just those of you that are here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in on iChurch, on streaming in English and streaming in Spanish. If this ministry has been a blessing to you and you are tuning into iChurch, there is an area at the top of your screen where you can let us know how this ministry has been a blessing to you. It is your faithful support that allows us to continue to provide iChurch to you. So we appreciate any love that you would like to give us. We've been talking about the importance of knowledge. We've been talking about the importance of knowing. It is so important for us to have the knowing that means that genosko, it's a knowing that comes from having a relationship. Do you have a relationship with the Father? So if you have a relationship, then this is the knowing that comes by knowing that you are not just going through the motions. You ever feel like you're going through the motions sometime? You're just doing something, what? Just to be doing it. But there is a purpose. I'm going to church because grandmama went to church. I'm coming, but then when you come, you're not present. It's like somebody forced you, what? You better come to church, right? But who has the joy in their hearts of knowing that you're not coming because you're being forced to come, but you're coming because you genuinely have a relationship with the Father? It's like, hey, don't you know how you get excited? Hey, meet me over there, over at so-and-so and so-and-so, and we're going to get together, right? Don't y'all do that? Meet me over there, on Western at 54th. Did I say that right? Is there a Western at 54th?
There's no Western, but there's a Western.
He said there's no Western, but there's a Western. And you're excited because you're going to meet. It just came to me. Yeah, I grew up on 54th. Did we grow? I grew up on 54th and Slauson, right? 4th Avenue and 54th. Yeah. It's been such a long time ago. I gotta remember. But listen, you get excited about that when you're trying to meet up, right? Do we get excited and say, hey, I'm gonna meet you at church on Wednesday night? Oh, I'm gonna meet you at prayer on Monday. See, you know, I see how I locate people, because I'm like, hey, Langston. I'm just using it as an example, so don't trip. Hey, Langston, hey, well, I'm excited. I'm going to see you at church on Monday. And when somebody is not coming, they'd be like, amen. Praise out. And then they'll just say, praise out. But you should be excited about an opportunity to go to the house. I believe the word says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Yahweh. I'm just asking, is anybody glad? I ain't trying to force you to be glad. But what happened Wednesday night? So those that came on Wednesday night, you know, we are truth seekers. So we are following the Hebrew calendar for the knowledge of it. We are not putting on all the prayer cloths and all those things, but we're seeking to know, right? The significance of the thing. So Wednesday night, you know that the Hebrew calendar is based upon the moon lunar calendar, right? And so Wednesday night was the first new moon after the blood moons, okay? And you know that since the calendar is based upon the moons, then my brother Tony, I didn't ask him to come because, you know, I didn't know. He was available. So he showed up on Wednesday night Bible study and he said, Pastor Tom, this is the first new moon after the blood moons, which is really significant. And so he says, and the shofar must be sounded. Now, Minister Daniel, will you please show us what the shofar is? This is a shofar. This is the ram's horn that anytime in the word where you saw the trump of Yahweh, the trump. Don't think that they had the jazz gold trumpets. That's what we do. But the trump of Yahweh was actually the horn. It's made out of a ram's horn, and it was the anointed and appointed sound designated by Yahweh for them to use as the sound. Say the sound. And so when the shofar was sounded, the sound meant something. Because listen, in the Hebrew, every consonant, every vowel, every accent means something. If you leave one jot or one tittle out, you completely changed the meaning. And so the sound is an appointed sound. Say it's a pointed sound. Say it's an anointed sound. Say shofar. And so when the shofar is blown, let's go to Numbers. Because I'm going to drop a little knowledge. I had to kind of deviate from what I'm talking about, but this is still all knowledge. Because Wednesday night, if you wasn't at Wednesday night, you missed the shofar blessing. What was the shofar blessing? I'm about to tell you. So it was Numbers, the 10th chapter, and the 9th verse. If you're a Hebrew scholar, it's what? Numbers, the Hebrew name for Numbers is Bar Midbar. All right. And so, it says this. And when you go to war in your land against the enemy, or what? Adversary. What does your version say? Enemy, right? It says, that oppresseth you. Hold up. Anybody live in the land? Are you living in the land? Okay. Do you know that daily you are in a war? Because he told you to put on the whole armor. So if he's telling me to put on the whole armor, that must mean that I'm in some type of a warfare, right? So who knows that you're in a war? Right? So it says, when you go to war in your land, against the adversary. Anybody know who the adversary is? So who is he talking to here? Talking to you. He's talking to the church, his children. He says, when you do that and the adversary is oppressing you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And it says, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh your God, and you shall be what? Saved from young. Who needs to be saved from their enemies? Come on. So who wants victory? So on the Hebrew calendar, on that Wednesday, was the time to blow the shofar. And so the shofar signified basically a lot of things. But last night it was war. The Wednesday night it was warfare. And it was saying that it represents the shout of Yahweh's victory. So when you hear the sound, see, I can't give you the sound this morning because that already happened on Wednesday. But what happened was, after the Bible study was over, we had dismissed and before everybody ran out. So there might have been one or two people that hit the dough. And by the time I came back with the shofar, there was already on the 405. But see, there's things that happen when you allow the lingering to take place. So when we came back, I said, everybody, I got to get your attention. We have to blow the shofar tonight. We have to blow the trump. Amen. What? Tonight. And so as we begin to explain what the shofar does, so let's look at the second thing that the shofar does. It's sounded for an alarm in the camp. It's blown to start assemblies. It's blown to announce the new moon and the new year. It's blown to herald messages. And number six is blown to coronate kings. And let's go to Psalms 98 before I go to number seven. And when the sound goes forth, the power of Yahweh is declared and the enemy is defeated simultaneously. So whatever is going on in your life, when you receive that sound, when you receive that trump, it announces your victory and it lets the enemy know you got to get up out of the way because you are defeated. You got to move. You got to go. There's only victory that's dwelling here right now. This is the sound of victory. And so when we blew that shofar on Wednesday night, the shackles were immediately broken and the blessings were released. Who was here on Wednesday night? Did you get your shofar blessing? That's what I'm talking about. So when we go to Psalms 98, it says, make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, all the earth. Break forth and sing joy. Yea, sing praises. Fifth verse says what? Sing praises unto Yahweh with the harp. With the harp and the voice of melody. And number six says what? With trumpets and the sound of the cornet. Or the shofar, make a joyful noise before the King Yahweh. So it ushers in worship. Hallelujah. So you gotta embrace these things because see, this is what when they were in the wilderness, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the tent, where the presence of Yahweh was there in the ark and everything, they would blow the sound. And when the sound went forth, you better get it together. You better come on in, and you better receive your victory. Hallelujah. All right? And so we got to understand that these things are significant. Amen? They mean a lot. So if you weren't here Wednesday night, I'm sorry. But stay ready. Because I heard someone say, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Get your blessing. Right? Get your victory. Receive it. And so the thing about knowing, go to Acts, the 17th chapter. There are a lot of people out there that profess that they know the Father, but do they really know him? You. There's a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But is it evidenced in their walk? I got a better question for you. Is it evidenced in your walk? Now, the word of Yahweh says that Yahweh is not a respecter of persons, right? You don't go around picking, oh, they better than this, and they better. But people recognize the kind of believer that you are when they see the proof in your life.
When they see, if you telling me, oh, God is good. Yeah, you need to come on over to my church. Yeah, you need to come over. Oh, the word is going forth. But then I see you living foul. Then I'm good. I don't need it, whatever you got popping. You pop on. I need something true. But then when I see people and they say, yeah, you need to come to my church. I'm like, okay. I'm looking at their life. What's your lifestyle look like? What comes out of your mouth? What is your attitude? I've seen believers and they say they go to church and all this stuff. But then when they go on the job, if you would ask the people at the job, Judy, there ain't no Judy's in here, right? Okay, good. I don't want nobody to get offended. But say Judy, she says she go to church, right? And all the co-workers work with Judy. But then you go to say, hey, but Judy don't have, she's not demonstrating the fruits. So then if you would go to a co-worker and say, hey, did you know that Judy was a Christian? And they would be like, what? She got the worst attitude in this place. She be tripping and cutting up all kind of stuff, ready to fight, show up late all the time, working the system. Y'all know about working the system, don't you? You gone just enough. You set your vacation time and then you got so many sick days, and so you put on the calendar which days you're going to call in sick even though you're healthy. I got 10 sick days left, but Yahweh's healed you. You ain't been sick a day in the year. But, oh, wait. Where the phone at? 8 o'clock. Wait. 6:45 a.m. I better call in.
Oh, I just wanted to let y'all know that I can't come in. This morning. All right. I just wanted to, okay. I'll get somebody to do it. All right.
All right. Helps. I'm feeling good. What'd you just do? You just what? Guess what you did? You worked the system. You stole. You know there's some extra rolls of toilet paper that's in that closet? And some pencils? And some paper? Well, you take the paper rolls and you stick it in your purse. You put it in your briefcase, and you take it home. Wait, why is it getting quiet up in here? I know nobody's stealing toilet paper. See, you gotta know these things. Your spiritual integrity. And people, listen, people know if you doing foul stuff. People know if you living foul. Are you like Judy? If we were to go to your job and say, hey, did you know that so-and-so was a believer and filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Oh, what would they say about you? Wow. Am I hurting y'all? I mean, I'm not trying to do that. But I'm trying to, I saw on something that it was a church for truth seekers. So I figured that these people here in this house would appreciate the truth. If the truth goes out, too much truth, right? But see, I need to administer everyday truth to you. I can't go far over your head. I want to hit you where you live because I care about your life more than I care about your feelings. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to talk about this stuff. So what kind of believer are you? So people see, and did you know that If you do not exhibit the fruits of a believer, then you hurt the kingdom. Because now people are seeing through your life what it means to be a believer, and they don't want to have no parts of it. Did you know you have that kind of power? And so, understanding that Yahweh is not a respecter of persons, but people are. And they want to see if you practice what you preach. So when we go to Acts, the 17th chapter, Paul, or Shaul is his Hebrew name, it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Shaul and Silas by night unto Berea. And Berea was one of the places that they went as they did their travels to spread the gospel. And it says, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. So they went to speak to people about the gospel. And the next verse says, 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And so what was more noble? The believers in Berea were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica. How is this possible? It said that they were, and let me break this down for you. They were more noble because of a reason. They were more noble because of what they demonstrated to Shaul and Silas. What did they demonstrate? Well, it said that those in Berea is that they received the word with all readiness. That means they were ready to take that word and apply it to their life, because everything about the word is instructions for you to apply to your life. You can't cherry pick the word, people. This applies to me, but I ain't gonna do that. Well, I'm gonna do this, but I ain't gonna do that. It says they received the word with what? Some readiness. Minimal readiness. All readiness of mind. And not only that, but after they delivered, after the disciples delivered the word to them, then those dudes, the Bereans, went back and they searched the scriptures themselves. See, y'all can tell me some stuff, but I need to investigate and make sure that the stuff you told me is legit. Amen. And not only did they search the scriptures, but they only, did it say they searched the scriptures just on a Sunday? They searched the scriptures just on a Wednesday? They searched the scriptures daily. So who put the noble label? See, people are going to label you based on your fruit. It's not Yahweh saying they were more noble. It was the observers. Did you guys know that you have you are being observed? Did you know that when you declare that you are a believer, you are on display? Yahweh has put you in the display cabinet to show people about his transformative power. You are in the display case because he worked something miraculous in your life. He worked something powerful in your life. You were in the darkness and he completely turned your life around and took you out of the miry clay, took you out of the valley, took you out of the pit, and put you upon a rock that's called Mount Zion. That's what he did. And so he's put you in that display cabinet so that people can see what he did for you, and that they can receive that what he did for you, he can do the same thing for them. Say, my life is a testimony. And that's where our believers were going off track. And that's why I don't like calling myself a Christian, because all these other folks call themselves a Christian. I call myself a believer because I'm actually applying. I believe it and I'm applying it. Right? Any believers? I believe it. right? And then it's getting quiet in here. There's some other stuff that I can say on that, but we're going to save that for another teaching. But he says they search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So you have a responsibility. Could somebody label you a Berean? Could somebody label you as being more noble? Right? It's based upon you, what your applications are. And so let's go here. I want to take you to, let's go to 2 Timothy. People looked upon these, the Bereans, differently because of their readiness of mind and their attitude towards the word. What is your attitude towards the word? Are you coming to opportunities? Coming to Wednesday night Bible study? You're coming to Sunday, adult Sunday school? Church, Sunday school is still in existence at 3CLA. Many churches have done away with their Sunday school. But we have still held the ground on Sunday school because we believe that Yahweh has given us a ministry to teach the truth daily. And so Sunday school is 9:30. Somebody say 9:30. I got folks coming in at 11 o'clock just for service. But the word is going forth. Oh, tell your neighbor it's 9:30. I know you done got somebody mad now. She's talking about 9:30. I'm going to come at 11. Well, it's okay. Hey, I love you. Whether you come once a month, I love you. But I can't call you a Berean. I have to call you a Thessalonian. And if you want to be a Thessalonian, that's cool. But you just don't hold the noble status. And Yahweh really is looking for the noble ones. Those are the ones that are obedient, right? And so let's go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the 15th verse. And it says, study to show. Who is he talking to? Thyself! But I think he's talking to the church here, but I think it's more personal. I believe that the direction is not a general. You know how we, like say, I'm in a meeting of 10 people sometimes, and I got one dude who's chronically late. And everybody else is always, the other 9 people are always on time, right? And to that person, I bring the 10 together. And I say, hey, everybody, you guys need to be here on time. And then the 9 people are like, we are always here. But then they look at the one, it's like, dude, why are you making this general statement? You need to be talking to this dude. But that's why I look about this scripture. He ain't got to make it general to everybody. He didn't say study to show thyself. Hey, everybody, you need to. No, he said you. Study to show. He's saying Ricky, Quincy. Apostle has already studied to show himself approved. Hey, does anybody know what I'm talking about? He done studied. And he's still studying. And next week he will be 80 years old. Next month he'll be 80 years old. Still studying. 80 years old. Still studying. Let me share something with y'all. Apostle has been in this word in ministry for almost 40 years. Faithful in the word. So he started the Sunday school lessons that he's been making for us. Water baptism, creation, the Holy Spirit, the implications of the resurrection, all these different series that he has studied for. And so what we were going to do is we were going to go back, because some of them we haven't done in a few years. And so it was water baptism and Holy Spirit, and they've already been done. Say they've already been done. So they've already been done. So all we got to do is just take them and bring them back. And so I said, are we ready? He said, there's some other revelation that Yahweh has given me on those subjects. So I'm going to give those back to me, and I'm going to enrich those, and I'm going to fill those up with what Yahweh has given me. So he is already done, but he's still studying not just new stuff, but he's going back over other stuff and still getting revelation and revelation and revelation. So I'm telling you, we don't have stale bread in the house. We got fresh bread, fresh bread. And a lot of times, y'all don't appreciate what Yahweh has given you. Sometimes we don't appreciate what Yahweh has given us. We are receiving the unadulterated truth of the word. We are going into the deep things. We are going into the high things. You understand what I'm saying? And so I love this word. It's an on time word. We're not going back and rehashing word. It's an on time word. Because what it's speaking is speaking about right now. And so he's saying, study to show yourself approved. That tells me something. That tells me if I need to study to show myself approved, then that means there must be a disapproval. See, not only should you go with what is said, but you should always go with what is not said. If he's telling me I need to be approved, that means there is a status that's not approved. There is a status that is rejected. So the opposite of approved is what? Is what? Disapproved. And if it's disapproved, is what? Rejected. So that tells me that I need to come out of my rejected disapproval status, and I need to get on the approved status. What does it take to get on the approved status? You gotta study. Now I know some of y'all came out of some school situations and you didn't like school. I'm sorry to tell you, it comes with the territory. You gotta study for this here. You gotta do it, whether you want to or not. But the word, he says, the word, it's like honey in the rock. The word is sweet. And it says, study. So I had to study. And the Greek word for study is spoudazo. Say spoudazo. It doesn't just mean that you study, book study. It means your whole lifestyle of what you are calling yourself. You're calling yourself a believer. Well, your whole lifestyle should reflect that. How does my lifestyle reflect that? Well, if I study or spoudazo, that means I make an effort. That means I'm diligent. That means I do work. Hold up. And then on top of that, I what? Study earnestly. My question to you, I submit to the church. Are you making an effort? Are you just floating along? Are you being diligent? Are you a servant? Do you have a servant's heart that you want to work for the kingdom, that you want to share your testimony? That you want to share the knowledge? Oh, man. It's getting quiet up in here again. Wait, y'all don't be sad. Be glad. Because now you can get it together. If you were living in Thessalonica, you can take up a residence in Berea. You can do it. It's not too late. Tell your neighbor, it ain't too late.
Not too late.
I got a beachfront condo for you. Right on the shores of Berea. Hallelujah. But, and you can get there. But all you got to do, study. I just need you to do what? Say spudazo.
No.
Tell your neighbor, spudazo.
No.
I love those words. So when somebody is tripping or acting, because I can't see all the foul stuff that y'all do. I can't see it. But some of y'all know what each other's doing. So I am going to submit to you. I need your help. And so when you see somebody tripping, one of these folks up in here, I just need you to say, spadazzo. You know, I need to hear that. Because then I'll be like, okay, well, let me get it. You know, right. You tell me too. If you feel like I'm getting froggy and I'm jumping on y'all, say spadazzo, pastor, spadazzo. I receive that. Right? I love these words too. Did you know that you're Yahweh's treasure? Did you know that you're Yahweh's treasure? When he looks upon you, you are his jewel. And so there's a word for that, a Hebrew word. When you are his treasure, you are his jewel. The word is segula.
What?
Segula. Somebody say segula. When I heard that word, I was like, yes! So you mean Yahweh is saying that I am his segula? That means he loves me. He cherishes me. He's trying to take care of me, provide for me. Why is he doing that? Because he loves me so much. I am his what? Segula. Tell your neighbor, you Yahweh segula. So say this, segula. You need to spadazzo. That's it. Because you are his treasure. You are his love. You need to spadazzo. So, say that one more time. Segula. You need to spadazzo.
You need to spadazzo.
Because that's who you are. Meaning, make an effort, saints. The song that the choir sung this morning, he deserves. The problem is that we think that we deserve more. Because that's how we act. More, Yahweh, you know, get you, I need more. Like, he done blessed you, and you're like, no, that's not enough. More. I provided a roof over your head. No, more. But you're not giving anything. And he is speaking to his church in these last days, and he's saying, I deserve more. I need more from you. Are you going to give him more? Are you going to make an effort? Are you going to be diligent? Are you going to do work? Because let's go back to the verse. It says, study to show thyself what?
Approved.
Go back to the scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh. Oh, stop, hold up. A leisure man. A chill man. No. See, y'all got it wrong. Some of us got it wrong. We thought that, oh, when we get saved, everything's just gonna be chill. I'm just gonna like kick back. I ain't gonna do no work. Well, I have an example of a man who's been living on this terra firma for 80 years, and he's still working. Still working, still laboring. That's because he the apostle. That's he's supposed to do that. Oh, hold up. It says study to show. Only apostles. No, no. Study to show only pastors. No, no. Study to show only ministers. Study to show yourself. Because you his child, you his segula. He's not talking about the people in the world. He's talking about you. You have a responsibility to show yourself approved unto him, a workman that needeth. You only ashamed when you ain't working. You only ashamed when you ain't putting forth no effort. I gotta call you, where you at? Try to get the praise worshipers, people here on time. We supposed to be here at 9:45 a.m. Sometimes it's 10:15. Where you at? You should be ashamed. No. If you're not doing, say you're not doing this, whatever you do up in this house. My house is at once. Wait, no, I'm not giving you my address. Don't do it. My house has a different address. My house. Where my mail go, while I lay my head down. 3960 East Gilman Street is his house. And his house is our house, but you're not doing it. If you're doing something for me, then I need to take you over there somewhere in Cerritos. I'll give you a general vicinity. But you ain't doing none of this for me. And if you're doing it for me, it ain't gonna last. If you're doing it for me, it don't mean nothing. Whatever you do for Yahweh, that's the only thing that's gonna last. You're doing stuff, you're working in the kingdom for him. So when you half do stuff over here on Gilman Street, you half doing this, you half doing it for your father. When you don't have your heart in it, you don't appreciate what he's done in your life. And you should be ashamed. And if you have that kind of heart, you are rejected. If you have that kind of heart, you're not approved. But the beauty is, he loves you. He is gracious. He got more grace than Pastor Tom. Woo! He got more mercy than Pastor Tom. Oh, my God! He is more loving than Pastor Tom. I'm trying to be loving like him. But he, all the mercy and the grace and the love that he's shown you, y'all, you need to, he deserves more. You need to give him more. You need to give him more. You need to. Can we give him more? Can we give him more? He wants more. He deserves more. He died on the cross for you. He deserves more. He cleansed you from your sins. He deserves more. And more, that means more adoration, more worship, more dedication, more praise, more thanksgiving. More, 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 more. More of your heart, more of your mind, more of your life. And he doesn't just want some of it, he really wants it all. Let's go before him, because even the sound of the shofar is also a cry out. It's a waking of the soul. And the words in that sound today are, I need more from you. The words in that sound is a cry out saying, I want more from you.
What is your answer this morning? Come on, give him your answer this morning. Give it to him. Give him whatever. Just talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. Yes, 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 Yabba, yes, 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 hey, yes, hey, Jesus, Father, hey, Father Yabba, we're crying out to you this morning. First and foremost, Father Yabba, forgive us if we have not given you all, if we've been holding back. Forgive us right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. We declare and we decree that you do deserve more, and we are going to give you more. We're going to give you more. Our desire, we purpose, we will give you more. We will, we will. Father, you have done so much for us. So right now, Father, we are rededicating ourselves. We're recommitting ourselves. That you can use us in a mighty way. That we're being those believers that are studying to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We give ourselves to you, Father, you have. Help us, minister to us, speak to us. Let our lives be an example of your transformative power. We know you are all powerful. We know that there is no one greater. We know, Father Yabba, that no one can do the things that you have done in us. So we give it to you. And we thank you. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Let his church, his segula, say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bow your head. With all believers, we bow our head because we want to intercede. I can't go without allowing an invitation to go forth. You've heard the word, and you say, listen, I want this relationship that comes with knowing, that comes with having a relationship with the Father that is real, that can change my life. If that's you, we can pray for you this morning. You say, hey, I want that salvation. I want that change. I want it. I need it. If that's you, raise your hand and we'll pray for you. That's all we need to do. Just pray for you. Pray for you this morning. Say, I want it. I want that relationship. I haven't had that relationship before, and I want it. I want the change. We'll pray for you for that. Maybe you have had a relationship with the Father, but you've fallen away. You're not as close as you used to be. And you're saying, hey, I know that I need to draw closer. I know he's calling me closer. I want that close relationship. If that's you, raise your hand. We'll pray for you. I want to be restored, rededicated back to my rightful place. If that's you, raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're just wanting to get it right. And we're going to just pray. For everybody, just bow your heads. Father Yabba, we thank you and praise you. For those that did not acknowledge necessarily the call, but in your love, in your grace, in your mercy, you're still ministering to us. You're still speaking to us. We ask right now that you, by your word and by your spirit, continue to light the way, continue to encourage. Continue to draw. You say no man or woman come up to you. It lets you draw them first. Continue to draw them, touch their hearts into another opportunity, Father, that they may grab hold of all the things that you have in store for them. We give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody bless him this morning. Hallelujah. Oh. Right. We want our ushers to come one more time. We're going to let you go, but we want to give those who need another opportunity. They did not get a chance to participate in the same.